later during this 60-minute conference call. Joining me today are Todd Campbell, Energy Policy Advisor, USDA Rural Development, and Kelly Aller, USDA Branch Chief of the Energy Division. Today we will start off with an update on REAP funding opportunities, followed by a description of the national importance of the MOU recently signed between USDA and the dairy industry. There will be a question and answer session following each segment. At this time, it is my pleasure to introduce our first speaker, Todd Campbell. Todd?
Thank you, Jerry, and thank you for the work that the Innovation Center does. Certainly a pleasure to join you and the folks on the line, and on behalf of Secretary Vilsack, thank you, everyone, for your hard work in the effort that we're discussing today on biogas production, nutrient management. It's certainly been a pleasure the last 3 years to work on this effort, and this is certainly a highlight of our time here the last three years since the signing of the MOU. The public-private partnership between the dairy industry and USDA is strong, and as we've went into this, this is certainly never been about a one and two-off project. This is about creating an industry that serves the communities that we work with, and certainly from Secretary Vilsack, this is a top priority of USDA. When he talks about rural revitalization and creating strong rural communities, the work that we do on the bioeconomy in taking biomass feedstock and creating renewable energy, helping to implement enhanced manure management techniques. It not only helps our dairy farmers across the country to continue to be the great stewards of the land, it also makes real dollars and cents in their farming operations. So we're excited to continue this work and to move forward. From the standpoint of the biogas industry, we certainly have been paying attention. We've worked to streamline programs here at USDA. We've worked to do a good job of connecting stakeholders to information and to answer questions. So in that continued effort, we are going to be talking about a few of the programs that we have here at USDA to help make these projects successful and profitable, and certainly looking at the INFORM economic study that the Innovation Center recently did a webinar on and has released to the public, we see as the biogas industry grows, focusing on a number of issues to increase efficiency and to make these ventures more profitable, specifically looking at fiber use, whether it's peat moss replacement or possibly looking at the biomass as a cellulosic feedstock in biofuels or renewable chemicals, looking at the idea of nutrient management, organic recycling, ways to divert biomass from landfills and to use that to increase biogas production. The nutrient separation technology that's being developed, diversifying revenues from the digester themselves to increase return on investment. And also working with folks in industry to develop tools that are needed to better put together projects to lower the cost of feasibility studies, looking at ways that we can help streamline the efforts here. Again, getting on the call today and continuing our work forward, want to make sure that it's clear that folks in the industry that are looking for to implement these creative solutions. You have a line of communication into the national office. Our state offices understand that this is a priority of the secretary, and we look forward to working with you as we continue the effort to make these projects successful. Today, I'm going to just briefly introduce our next speaker here, Kelly Ehler, who's the branch chief of the Energy Division here in Rural Development. Kelly's going to be walking through a program that's open right now that a lot of folks are familiar with, the Rural Energy for America program. This is one of the primary programs that's helped to fund a number of digesters over the year. There's different components to this. Kelly's going to give a little bit of an update on the application deadlines and get into more details. And what we hope with this forum and forums in the future on REAP and other USDA programs, we'll quickly go through some of the outline of the program and really open it up for questions to provide information to folks that are developing a project, that are working with stakeholders to help make these successful. So with that, Kelly Ehler will walk through the programs, and then we can have a brief question and answer period to get into some of the specifics. Kelly?
Thanks, Todd. Thanks, Jerry. Today, I do want to go through just a few quick updates on what's happening with the Rural Energy for America program, REAP, more commonly referred to as. So we had published a notice in March 29th of 2013, and we pushed hard. We know the Secretary and Undersecretary both supported us to get and helped us move that notice out. And we got the notice at the Federal Register, and once you know it, probably the day or two after it got to the Federal Register, the continuing resolution was approved for the government. And under the continuing resolution, what basically happened is they basically funded the government for the remaining of the year, and some of the things I'm going to get into talks about exactly how that impacted the Rural Energy for America program. So what we identified as soon as the resolution was passed is that we did get additional money under the REAP program. We are still working through with budget to identify the specific amount, but I can tell you that was a significant amount more than what was originally announced. And originally it was $20.8 million that was announced in the March 29th deadline, of which $10 million was going to go for grants and about $43 million for guaranteed loans. With the passage of the continuing resolution, we have a significant amount of more money for that. So what we did right away is we started the process to actually extend the application window, because all along during the year we had basically identified that we were going to have about $20 or $22 million of funds available for the program for our energy coordinator. So as soon as we found out that we had a significant amount of more money, right away started drafting a extension notice for the program that extended the window. The original window was going to close April 30th, and with the extension notice that was published in May 8th of 2013, the windows for the grant programs got extended to May 31st of 2013. What's covered under the grant programs then is any project requesting a grant, including those grants of $20,000 or less, feasibility study grant, and as well as a combo, which is a combination grant and loan. So we basically say is if you're requesting a grant, the deadline is May 31st. If you're requesting just a guaranteed loan, that window has not changed. The window that was published in the application notice of March 29th July 15th is a deadline notice for the guaranteed loan applications. So if you are looking to just to submit an application for guaranteed loan, that is going to be due at the July 15th. Now, as I indicated, we're still kind of working through with budget the actual funding amounts, but I can tell you that we're going to have grants of $20,000 or less. We're going to have the regular grants, which we call unrestricted grants, so there's no requirement that they have to be less than $20,000. They can be for any amount of money up to the maximum amount that's allowed for the specific project. Also, what we're going to be dealing with is that we're going to have several different competition windows that you're going to see within the program. Grants of $20,000 or less do need to be obligated by the agency by the end of June. So that's going to be the first competition that would be held, and you're going to see that the states will be allocated funds. We actually allocate the majority of the funds. We retain very little grant funds here in the national office because we do look for states to become active and involved in the program, so we do try to get as much funds out to the states as possible. Now, as happens every year, the states won't use all of the funds, and we'll get some of them back. So we will also have a national competition here in the national office, and it'll be for all grants and guaranteed loans. So the first competition is grants of $20,000 or less. That's going to be done by the end of June. The next competition that you're going to see is for grants and guaranteed loans or combos, and those will be done by August 2nd. After that time, after August 2nd, we're going to basically bring any money that has not been used by the states, bring them into the national office, and then basically states will be able to submit any applications they were unable to fund, and we're going to do a competition at the national office for those funds. Just to quickly review the minimum maximums for the programs, the renewable energy system grants. So if you're looking at a digester, which is one of those, the maximum grant that can be applied for is $500,000. However, there is another caveat that you have to look at. So it's actually $500,000 or 25% of the project cost, whichever is less. For energy efficiency improvements, if some of the dairy operators are looking at improving using less energy on their operations, they can also apply for an energy efficiency grant. And the maximum grant there is $250,000 or 25% of the project cost. And then, as Todd had indicated, we also have a feasibility study grant program, and the maximum feasibility study grant is $50,000 or 25% of the project cost. So those are some of the minimums and maximums that we have with the programs. I do want to talk just a little bit about a different program or a proposed rule that's on this program that's out as well. We did publish a proposed rule on April 12th of 2013, and I would definitely appreciate any comments that any of you would have on that rule. Specifically, we're looking to reduce the application requirements for grants. We're also looking at the ability to improve program delivery on the guaranteed loan side as well. So we're looking at some different competition windows for the guaranteed loans. What I would encourage you to do is take a look through what is being proposed to be changed. If you're not familiar with a proposed rule, the proposed rule has a preamble. Within that preamble, you're going to find all the changes that we're doing. So if you have something, you can read through the preamble. If something specifically catches your eye that you'd like to read through more, then you can go back to the section of the rule that actually identifies that. But it's the preamble does tell you what is going to be changed within the rule. So I encourage you guys, to anyone, to look at that and review those and get back to us. Any comments and all comments are appreciated and will be reviewed and addressed as we move into the next iteration of the rule, which is called an interim rule or a final rule. And we will try to move into that and have that published as soon as possible. Now, I do also want to just talk with you about a different program that you're going to be seeing a notice come out shortly, and that is the 9005 program. It's our advanced biofuel payment program. You're going to see a notice coming out shortly, and digesters are eligible to receive payments under that program. And what is going to happen is there will be an additional 30-day window. The program actually has a window in the month of October that's open normally, but this year we're going to have an additional 30-day window in the following the publishing of the notice, and any producer can apply for the program in that interim window. One final thing that I do want to tell you about, I know I haven't been able to discuss the funding amounts on the 9007 or the Rural Energy for America program, the REAP program that we talked about initially. We do anticipate publishing a subsequent notice that will identify the specific dollar amounts. I know some of you are going to have questions exactly what we received. I can tell you we received a significant amount. And what we look at is what happened last year is we were limited on the amount of funds that we could spend in 2012. The Farm Bill actually provided us $70 million in 2012 to provide in that fiscal year. The appropriations bill limited us to $22 million. So what basically happened is we have that the balance of those funds will be available in the for distribution this fiscal year. So that's what's happening. The balance of the funds from the fiscal year 2012 funding that was provided to us in the Farm Bill is being made available in fiscal year 2013. So that's where the funds are coming from. If anyone's wondering where the funding is coming from, we actually had those funds released, and we'll be able to use those in fiscal year 2013. That's all I'm going to talk about. I'm going to turn it back to Jerry.
Thank you, Kelly. As we mentioned, this is a forum, and we really do want to open up this discussion to you. If you've got any questions with regard to the programs that have been discussed so far. And the operator will assist in those questions. Todd, I have one that I'd like to just raise at the beginning. Are feasibility studies over or under subscribed? And could you comment on the appetite at USDA with regard to feasibility studies?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Jerry. And this is an area where a differentiation needs to be made in the general REAP renewable energy efficiency grants and the separate feasibility grant portion. In the 2008 Farm Bill, it added that additional category of the feasibility study grant. And this is for projects that people are considering to help determine, the best way to move forward with the project, whether it makes sense to complete the project. So this isn't for a completed feasibility study. This is for one that's being considered. And over the course of the fiscal year funding, we have been undersubscribed on feasibility study every single year. Along with the increase in the dollar amounts that will go into the general renewable energy and energy efficiency, you'll see a like increase in the amount of funds in the feasibility study grant portion. So I would, again, just stress the fact that has been an undersubscribed program for each of the past years. And I'm looking for Kelly just to make sure I got this right, but I think for each of the years that we've had that feasibility study open, that we've never expended all of the funds in any one year. So those funds have been rolled back into the general grant program. So if you would have a qualifying application for the feasibility study in previous years, that would have been funded automatically because of the undersubscription in the program.
Todd, you are absolutely correct. This is Kelly Ayler again. The program has been underutilized in every year that we've had the feasibility study. So we've always had to roll money back into the regular grant program. So it is definitely an underutilized and undersubscribed to component of REAP.
One follow-up on that, does the feasibility study improve or any way affect the ability to apply for and successfully receive, say, the larger grants for the digesters, up to the 500K or the energy efficiency? Is there a sequence that you'd like to see where a feasibility study and then the larger grant?
Jerry, it does not impact it. So to answer the first question, it does not impact it. So if you apply for the feasibility study, that does not deter your chances for receiving a grant under the regular program or a $500,000 grant for installing your digester. And actually, as you sequence it, we would prefer to see that actually someone apply for the feasibility study, and then they move into the next portion, which is actually the hard construction of the hard costs. The one thing just to point out is if you get funding for the feasibility study under the feasibility study grant, those costs would not be eligible to be carried over into the regular portion of the grant program. But it was set up so that it could be done right in line. You do 1 year, you do the feasibility study, the next year you do the digester. So it was set up that way to work.
Okay, we'll move on to the second agenda item, and thank you, Todd and Kelly, for the REAP update. And I want to mention that Todd was also instrumental in the development of the Memorandum of Understanding between USDA and the Innovation Center. And we are pleased to report that Secretary Vilsack and Tom Gallagher, our CEO for the Innovation Center, renewed the historic agreement to accelerate the adoption of waste-to-energy projects and energy efficiency improvements on U.S. dairy farms. The PAC extends the Memorandum of Understanding signed in Copenhagen, Denmark, in 2009 for another three-year period. The MOU does call for the USDA and the Innovation Center to work towards a goal of reducing U.S. dairy industry greenhouse gas emissions by 25% by the year 2020. Included in the MOU is a call to develop a national roadmap for biogas. This is very important. It will be patterned after the USDA's biofuel roadmap and lend to the acceleration and streamlining of the process for adopting anaerobic digesters and other innovative manure management technologies by U.S. dairy farms through the various USDA programs. And we're pleased to report that since we signed the MOU originally, USDA has made nearly 180 awards that help finance the development, construction, and biogas production of digesters through the rural development programs such as REAP, Bioenergy Program for Advanced Biofuels, the BNI Guaranteed Loan Program, the Value Added Producer Grants, and others. And additionally, during this period, USDA awarded approximately 140 REAP loan and grants for other types of renewable energy and energy efficiency at dairies. Also, the USDA's Natural Resource Conservation Service provided an additional $257 million in funding since 2009 that helped more than 6,000 dairy farmers plan and implement conservation practices to improve sustainability. We are very pleased the USDA entered into the next MOU with the Innovation Center and look forward to working together over the next 3 years. I'd like to encourage anyone that's interested to take a look at a copy of the MOU, and it can be found at the web link in the teleconference invitation you received. Todd, would you like to add any comments to the MOU?
Yeah, thank you, Jerry. And I think I just add that, you know, at the you know, through the renewed commitment, you know, the USDA working with the Innovation Center and our folks out in the field and offices, we'll continue the research, development, and deployment of these technologies that are helping to make dairy farmers' operations more sustainable And again, as you pointed out, the roadmap to deployment to meeting those goals, not only does it help to continue the stewardship, the great stewardship that dairy farmers have practiced, for hundreds of years, but actually will help to employ new technologies that will diversify revenues and lower input costs on their operations. So. We're excited to continue this work. We've seen progress over the last 3 years. We've seen good projects that are going into the ground, newer technology, better efficiency in existing technology, and looking at all of those surrounding issues, whether it's increasing return through tipping fees and acting as organic recycling in the community, separating those nutrients and finding new revenue streams with separated marketable products, and also looking at alternative uses for biogas in addition to the renewable energy that's powering thousands of homes in the community from digesters, really looking at whether it makes sense and how we can deploy more compressed natural gas or use some of the feedstock as new sources for renewable chemicals and alternative transportation fuels. So we are certainly satisfied with the start of the work that we've begun, but look forward to accelerating that work and the results that we see in the next 3 years as we work to implement towards that goal of 25% reduction by 2020.
Thank you, Todd. And I just want to reiterate our excitement around the biogas roadmap concept. I mean, as Alex Shea mentioned on the call today, along with Patrick Surfass from American Biogas Council, both have really good ideas that could be influenced in that report. And we just want to reach out to the digester community, the biogas community in the United States, and really come together with a common voice that really defines that we have an industry in the United States. We're not talking about one-off digesters that are, you know, built by independent people trying to access national markets. We do have a national voice, a common voice. And one indication of that, a proof point, is the national market value of anaerobic digester products that Todd mentioned earlier. The report has come out. The most likely scenario for our industry in the digester arena is about $3 billion in terms of the value of the products from anaerobic digesters. And Dana Stewart mentioned some of those today. And there's a huge opportunity to continue to develop those products. So we wanted to have the biogas roadmap focus on that as well.